Would you please turn your Bibles to Matthew, the 11th chapter? Do you ever get tired? A lady one time said she felt as though she had been ironing all day in high heels on a low board with a cold iron. And I suspect if someone did something like that, they would be tired for sure. Life is just filled with weariness. We get tired after the activities of a day, or maybe as life progresses along and the years begin to add up, we grow physically tired as a result of that longevity of life. But we can thank God that we do not have to wait until heaven in order to receive rest for our soul. There may be very little rest for the body, but there is rest for the soul. If you go to a cemetery, you may find a tombstone. You may find many tombstones erected there that have R.I.P., rest in peace. But it takes more than a tombstone in order to bring peace to a person. And if you die without rest, then putting up a tombstone is not going to bring you rest. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that you will have no rest day and night, because only Christ produces the kind of rest that I want to talk to you about today, a rest that certainly culminates in heaven, but also a rest that is produced in the life of men and women even now, even during this life. And so while our bodies may grow tired at the end of a long day, or they may grow weary at the end of a long life, we still can have rest in our soul. Jesus said, "You will find rest." And I want to talk to you for a few moments this morning about how you can find that rest. In Matthew, the 11th chapter, Jesus speaks of this in verses 25 through 30, where we're told that at that time, Jesus answered and said, "I praise Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that Thou didst hide these things from the wise and intelligent, and didst reveal them to babes. Yes, Father, for thus it was well-pleasing in Thy sight. All things have been handed over to Me by My Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal Him. Come to Me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you, and learn from Me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For My yoke is easy and My load is light." We're going to talk this morning for a few moments about that rest that Jesus provides. And I would ask you to think in terms of what He has said in these verses, these very familiar verses, about this rest. First of all, think about the simplicity of the rest that Jesus describes. He's speaking here about a rest that children may know. Not those that are confident in their intellectual capacities. Not those that are superior in their own minds as to their understanding and their grasp of things. These, Jesus says, these intellectual elitists will not receive this rest. Did you notice that He said in verse 25 that this is a rest that is given to those who are children? He says, "You've hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and didst reveal them to babes," or to infants. Can you think of anything more pure, more honest, more simple than a little child, a little babe? Well, Jesus used that imagery to describe the kinds of people who would receive the rest that He offers. Do you find yourself in your life in turmoil? I'm not talking about at the end of a long day, are you physically tired? But I mean when you look upon your life, when you consider your standing with the God of heaven, do you find that there is in your life a sense of turmoil, of uneasiness, of unrest, that you know that there is not a harmony between yourself and God? Well, here's the way to go about finding that rest that Jesus promises. He says, you must receive it like a child. Now, He's not talking about childishness. He's not saying you need to behave like a child. God forbid that we behave in childish fashions. Look, if you would, in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 14. And there you'll find in verse 20, the Apostle Paul says, brethren, do not be children in your thinking, yet in evil be babes, but in your thinking be mature. Paul did not want his brethren to act like children. Now, sometimes children can be selfish. Sometimes children can behave in cruel manners. Don't act like a child. But what the Scriptures tell us is that in regards to evil, in regards to our practicing of things that are immoral, things that are wrong, things that are ungodly, be like babes, be like children. I go back to that image that Jesus used to describe the innocence and the purity of a child. Now then, do you want rest? Jesus said, here is the simplicity of the rest that I offer. It is not gained because you are smarter than your neighbor. Just because you're brighter than your neighbor doesn't mean that you're more right with God. No, the Scriptures really warn us against becoming conceited and placing all of our confidence in intellectual attainments. Paul, writing to his brethren in Colossae in chapter 2 and in verse 8, warned against human philosophy. Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and he raised the question, where is the wise? Where's the intelligent? His point being in that context that when it came to discussing salvation from God, it was not going to be a discussion that was rooted in intellectual attainments. You see, the gospel is not based upon and built upon intellectualism. No. The truth of God is that which is offered only through the gospel. And it is the pure of heart. It is those that are simple. It is those that are honest that will receive it. Now, Jesus is not here opposed to being people who use our reasoning capabilities. He's saying simply that intellectual pride will hide the gospel from the minds of those that are arrogant. So, be careful. Don't begin to look upon yourself as an intellectual elitist, as someone who stands above everyone else. If you want to receive the rest that Jesus offered, then approach it with simplicity, with honesty. But not only does he talk about the simplicity of his rest, he also talks about the surety of his rest. Look, if you would, back in Matthew 11 and in verse 27. He says, all things have been handed over to me by my Father. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. Now, Jesus in these verses is going to promise rest. When we get down there to verse 29 and 30, very clearly, He makes the promise of giving rest. And Jesus does not make promises that He cannot keep. The proof that He can keep this promise that He makes in these verses is found in this statement, "All things have been handed over to me by my Father." He would express it later on in the book of Matthew at the very end when He says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." I'm the one who is in charge. I'm the one who has the authority in all things. Now what we need to understand is this. We can have confidence that Jesus is able to give us rest in the ways that He promises because He has all authority, because all things have been handed over to Him. We've been involved on Sunday evenings in a study of the book of Colossians. And in that great book, in chapter 1, verses 15 through 18, we read where the Apostle Paul talks about the fact that in Him, that is in Christ, all things consist. He says that all things were made. Everything that is has been made by Jesus Christ. He is describing there the preeminence, the supremacy of Christ in all things. He is, because all things consist in Him, He is, as someone has said, the glue of the galaxy. You want to know why you are drawing breath at this very moment? You want to know why you exist this very moment? It is because all things consist in Him. You take Jesus Christ out of the equation and this whole universe just is flung into chaos. You exist now because all things have been handed over to Him. And because He has this power, if it's true, if you really believe that about Jesus, then you'll have no problem believing that He can give me this rest. It is a sure and certain thing because the Father has placed all things into His hands. But not only does He talk about the simplicity of this rest and the surety of the rest, He also identifies the source of the rest. Verse 28, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Come to me." Where do you find rest in this life? Well, people look in an awful lot of places. Many people try to find it, this rest, in possessions, in money. I like what one fellow said one time about money. He said, "Money can buy you almost anything but peace, and can take you almost anywhere but heaven." And that's true. And in the final analysis, of course, that is the rest that Jesus is promising here. The peace that one can have now in this life, the rest that ultimately one enjoys in heaven. But if you want that, Jesus' statement to us clearly says, here's where to find it. Come to me. You cannot find this rest in possessions. You cannot find it in positions, in your careers. You cannot find it in power and influence. You won't find it in psychiatry. You won't find it in psychology. You'll find it nowhere else but in Jesus Christ. And so Jesus said, "Come to me, because I am the source of this rest." But He also spoke about what the secret of this rest is. I dare say that many people would not disagree with anything that I've said up to this point in time. Yes, we understand that this is a simple rest offered to people with childlike faith and honesty and sincerity and simplicity will come to the gospel. We understand it's a surety based upon Christ's great authority, we understand that He and He alone is the source of this rest. Ah, but how do you get this rest? What is the secret of it? Jesus speaks of that in the last two verses. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, and I will give you rest. Here's the secret. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Now I want to tell you, there is where a lot of people will depart. Folks don't want to talk about taking a yoke upon them. Folks often today want nothing to do with a yoke. Now you may be sitting there saying, that's right, David, I don't want anything to do with a yoke because I don't have the first idea what a yoke is. Well, if you grew up in those days and time, you would have known very well what a yoke is. Or if you grew up a few years back, rural areas of this country, you would know what a yoke is. A yoke just basically was a beam or a bar that would have been placed across the shoulders of an animal, hitched then to a wagon or a plow, and then with that yoke on that animal, it was a collar. With that yoke on that animal, the animal could pull the cart or the plow or the load that had been placed upon it. But the yoke was an instrument of authority over that animal. Now you see why people don't want to talk about a yoke? Ours is a generation that does not want to be put into submission to anyone in any degree for anything. But Jesus said that's the secret to this rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Do you think that ours is a generation that has a little bit of an inclination to, well, I really don't want to put the effort forth to learn? Well, that's the secret to finding this rest. Jesus says you must learn from me. You see, Jesus has something to teach us. In John, the 8th chapter, Jesus talked about the people that the Father would draw to Him. And He says in verse 45 that they are the ones that He would teach. The Father would teach these people. That's the way you and I are drawn to Jesus. It is by being willing to be taught by Him. Now, let me ask you something. Do you wear the yoke? Have you put the yoke upon your shoulders? Now, out on the farm, the farmer is going to come and he's going to take the yoke and he's going to put it upon that animal. But in the picture that Jesus draws, it is we who take up His yoke and place it upon ourselves. He is not going to make us do this. The secret to this peace is that it is a peace that we choose. We choose to take up His yoke. We choose to put ourselves in submission to His direction. We take up His yoke in order to learn from Him. You see, folks, this rest that Jesus speaks of is not a rest from labor. It's not a rest from effort. Sometimes folks will serve the Lord for a number of years, and then they'll get to a point in their life and they'll say, okay, I'm done. I've done my part. They spiritually retire. Well, we may get to a point in our lives where we're not able to physically do what we once could do. But that does not mean that we cannot do anything. And it does not mean that we sit back and we prop our feet up on the pew in front of us and do nothing. Now, this is a service that we take upon ourselves for our life. It is the yoke that we wear for our life. It is learning from Him for our life. The truth of the matter is, friend, if you take the yoke off, then you take the burden up. You want to lay the burden off, then you take the yoke up. Take my yoke. Learn from me. If you'll go to work for the Lord by losing yourself in His service, you'll receive the rest that He promises. And finally, there is a sweetness that Jesus speaks of about this rest that He offers. He says in verse 40, "For my yoke is easy, my load is light." Now you get this picture in your mind of some farm. And this farmer goes out and he puts this yoke on this ox. And he has this big wooden collar that he puts on the neck of that ox. And then attached to that yoke is this load. Now, do you suppose that it's a sack of feathers? No, you know that's not so. It's a heavy load. That's why he's got that big ox. But look at the picture Jesus draws. Take my yoke upon you. My yoke is light. And the burden that I place upon you to pull, to bear in this life, he says, it's light. My yoke is easy. The burden is light. You know, it happened to an animal sometimes that would wear a yoke for a period of time. It would begin to chafe. There's nothing easy about that, is there? It irritates. It's sore. It hurts. Doesn't fit real well. Jesus says, "My yoke is easy. It fits." You know, we're all familiar with the image of Jesus as a carpenter. I want to tell you something. Carpenters of that day and time did a lot of business making yokes for farmers. This carpenter never makes a yoke that doesn't fit. It's not going to chafe you. It's not going to be burdensome to you. His yoke, His rule in your life is always for your good. His yoke is easy. The burden that He gives you to bear, to pull, what is it? How many times do we say, "Oh, I'll tell you what, being a Christian, it's hard. It's hard." Jesus said, "My burden's light." Have you put the yoke on? Did you put it on some years ago and now you've put it off? Jesus' appeal to you is, take my yoke. Learn from me. Because what I have for you is easy and it's light. And what it brings, what it produces, is rest. Rest now. You can rest from the trouble. Whatever troubles your mind, whatever troubles your spirit, whatever brings unrest in your life, you can find relief from that. But there's only one place. And that's why Jesus said, "Come to me." It can be a rest that you have here and now, and then a rest that you'll receive and enjoy for eternity in heaven. Would you take up the yoke? You can, if you'll believe that Jesus is God's Son. That's what's involved in coming to Him. It's coming in recognition that He is who He said He is, that He's the Son of God. And in that faith, if you'll turn away from your sins, if you'll confess your faith, if you'll be baptized to wash your sins away today, you'll become one who is in the yoke and can continue to learn from Him, live for Him, and then live with Him. Won't you come to Him while we stand and sing?